So, it's at this time every week that we want to start your day with an inspiring story. And so we welcome onto the show someone who has overcome adversity or turned their life around, maybe survived against the odds or displayed resilience in the face of hardship. This week, our guest on My Amazing Life is Luiso Lindani, a writer, creative artist, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, HIV activist and author. Luiso was 5 months pregnant when she discovered that she was HIV positive in 2006 and initially convinced that her diagnosis was the death knell that would end her young life. But eventually she discovered that being HIV positive wasn't a death sentence, nor did it define her. She's since become a pillar of strength for many of those with HIV who've been stigmatised because of their status. She's also penned her memoir, which is called How HIV Saved My Life. Extraordinary. Let's welcome Luiso Lindani to the show. A very good morning to you, Luiso. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, thank you. I'm so emotional as you are reading out my bio, you know. It's making me to be so emotional. I'm so grateful because the way that you are, like, saying, it makes me feel like I've really done some incredible things with my life. I'm so grateful. Thank you to you. Good morning to you and to the listeners as well. I'm very proud and very happy to be here.
And you really should be proud because your story really is an extraordinary one. Let me take you back to the beginning of your story. Born in East London, tell us a little bit about your early years, your background, your family.
I'm from the Eastern Cape, so that's what I like to say, that I'm a proud Eastern Cape baby because my father is from the one half of Eastern Cape and my mother the other half. So my father is from Uitenhage, or Karinga as it's now known, which is part of Chabeha. And then my mother is from East London in Tanzania. So I was born in Karinga when they were married, and then their marriage didn't work out. So my mother took me with her in Tanzania, and I was raised in I was raised in Tanzania, and that's how I grew up. And my book also talks about this, my family dynamics, which all went always like the greatest. I grew up in a very toxic family environment, in a very abusive space, in a very non-supportive environment. But I never knew that it was an abusive or toxic environment because I thought it was normal, you know, to have broken windows and people fighting and stabbing and all, you know, and these are relatives. These are people that are actually siblings, you know. So I grew up in that toxic environment, but I didn't know that it was abusive until later on when I did like the shadow work, when I was like doing my writing and everything. So that's when I started to have, like, you know, the real words and the tools to express myself and to actually analyze what was going on.
I want to talk to you a little bit later about the significance of writing in your life, but what were the messages that you had been given about sex while you were growing up?
There were no messages about sex when I was growing up. Sex was a taboo subject. We didn't talk about it. It just was like off the topic. It was just like one of those things that wasn't happening. I was a virgin when I met my boyfriend, you know, and I dated him for 3 years and we never had any intercourse at all, like any sexual relations. We just like talked. But immediately as my family found out, it began to be chaotic. My mother wanted to forced me actually to go to the clinic to go and get an injection, you know, which is made to stop a pregnancy, which at the time, well, I feel like I didn't need it, but she felt like it was necessary. And then she also explained it, like, if I could get raped, then I wouldn't be falling pregnant. So I was just forced into a space. And I believe that being forced into taking, or like, you know, it's part of sexual and reproductive health rights, which were not explained to me as a child. But because I was forced into things that I wasn't ready for, then I ended up assuming that I was ready to have sex. And that then forced me, or rather coerced me, into starting to have sex early, which I believe also played a very big role in making sure that at some point in my life I do get exposed to HIV.
Luiso, you've said something there that is such a damning indictment on South Africa and what is unfortunately become our rape culture. Your mum saying to you, have this injection, this, which I guess was like a Depo Provera contraceptive injection, so that in the event that you get raped, you won't get pregnant. What a damning indictment on South Africa as a country, that is where we area at? I mean, that's not your,
It was so shocking for me, but it was shocking purely because I was a child and I approached life very naively, you know, but it speaks very much to who we are. But as a child, I never had the words. I didn't have the tools to express myself. I never, you know, like we have the words now to say, this is abuse, this is torture, this is trauma, this is this. We have words, but back then we didn't have the words. And she was right to think like that, even though as a child, I didn't think like that, because we were living in an area that was so riddled with crime and gangsterism. We were on the news every day for crime and gang. Like, if you knew us, you just basically knew us as those people that you don't want to come near to, next to, because they're just dangerous. They will kill you. They will rape you. They will do all those kind of things. That's the society that shaped me and molded me, which was a very, very awful, toxic environment.
If you're just tuned in this morning, my guest on My Amazing Life is Luisa Lindani. In 2000, was it 2005 that you got your results, or 2006, Luisa?
It was in 2006 that I received my test results.
In 2006, okay. Yeah. In 2006, Luisa received her test results, testing positive for HIV, and at the time believed, like many people do, that she had essentially just been handed her death sentence. But it's been 16 years, and today she says that, in fact, that diagnosis, those results saved her life. She's even written a book. It's called How HIV Saved My Life. We'll talk about that in just a minute. What was your knowledge, Luisa, of the HIV and AIDS pandemic in South Africa? Did you know anyone who was infected, or who people suspected of being infected in your area?
I knew quite a number of people in my neighborhood who had been known to be living with HIV. And this is only also, like, I feel like it's also part of the stigma that we projected onto them, because none of them ever disclosed to us. But you would see by a person getting sickly, always being in hospital, and then they would have that look of being a skeleton, because a lot of the time people would become like this very, very, very thin skeletons that don't know how to walk. And it was very tragic. So I know a lot of people, but chief among those people was also my mother. So I have a very personal experience of her own illness during the camp, which was very, very heartbreaking and also very, like, you know, traumatizing in a way, because I wasn't ready for the things that were going on at the time. And I was the one who was, like, mostly looking after her. Like, we were all, like, we lived in a four-roomed house. And you must imagine how terrible it is to live in a four-roomed house and you have, like, I think about 8 or 10 family members within that space. So it's, like, very, very crowded. And then you have the sickly person. And the only thing that we know about HIV is that it's AIDS. It's called AIDS. Yeah. And once you have AIDS, then you're going to die. And we had limited information. Some, they didn't want her to come back to the house because she had been living in Mpumalanga. So they didn't want her to come back because they were afraid that she was going to breathe AIDS into the house. So a lot of them believed that by breathing AIDS, then everybody would get infected. So it was very, very terrible. And then she started to get sickly. She was in and out of hospital a lot of the time. And I was still in high school doing my matric. I failed my matric during that year because all of my time was spent on, like, going to her hospitals, focusing on her getting better. And also because I was also in denial, because I was like, no, my mother can beat this. My mother can get well. And most of the time she would get well for, like, a short while, and then she would, like, go back to the same thing. So I have a very, very personal experience.
Sorry, Lewis, I want to ask you, you've said before, I knew there was HIV, yet I was not going out of my way to ensure that I at least had protected sex to ensure that I decreased my chances of getting infected. Did you have an attitude, and you've also said that of your relationships when you were younger, that you were looking for love in all the wrong places, desperate for affection. Yeah. Did you have an attitude of, it'll never happen to me?
I didn't have an attitude of it would never happen to me, but I just had that attitude that if it happens to me, I'll see it when it happens. I had that attitude because I was like, okay, I'm just going to be living my life. And if I have AIDS, then I have AIDS. And if I do have it, I'll see it on the day when I'm laying on my hospital and I'm also, like, ready to die as well. So I had, I had that kind of a mentality towards it. I was very afraid to go and get tested because my fear was that if I'm positive, I wouldn't be able to deal with the news because I saw so many people dying around me. So I didn't think there was going to be anything exceptional about me. So it's why when the doctor told me that I'm also positive for HIV, I immediately started planning for my death, because I was like, okay, I'm going to die, because everybody else around me has been dying.
So let's talk about that. What was it that eventually led you to getting tested, and how did you feel going for that test? Were you offered any sort of counselling ahead of taking it?
I went to go and get tested out of my own free will. I went and I told the doctor, I used to go to like a private clinic. So I told the doctor that I would like to get tested throughout my whole pregnancy. He had done all other tests, but he hadn't done like the HIV test. So I asked him specifically for one. And yes, they did give me counseling. But here's the thing though, when you get a HIV counseling, when you go in there already, like you already know, like you're expecting one of two answers. And it's either you're positive or negative. So if they counsel you and say you're going to live long and you're going to have a productive life, don't worry about it, because you know that whole script, your mind is like, okay, I hear all that you're saying, but like, let's get the test done because I want to know my results. So I was also very much like that, because they did do counseling for me. And yes, I did hear everything that they were saying, but nothing actually really prepares you for the result of being positive for HIV, which is what happened for me. Because when they told me, I literally froze, because I was like, oh my gosh, I also have it. And then I need to start preparing for my death. Oh my gosh, I'm pregnant and I'm alone, because I wasn't with my family, because the family didn't want the pregnancy. I was being forced into an abortion. Then I was 21 and I was living basically on the street, in the sense that I started renting, but I was living from place to place. So when I say I'm on the street, I wasn't at home, but I was like living from place to place, and I was isolated and I was alone, and I had to deal with things on my own. So it was a very, very, very difficult time.
Luisa Lindani is the author of a book called How HIV Saved My Life. We're talking to her this morning about her incredible story. So a single mom, raising a baby, coming to terms with the news that you are HIV positive. What was your lowest moment, Luisa?
I've had like so many, it's difficult to name just one, you know, because as I say, like I wasn't fully prepared for the news and I didn't have the tool. I wasn't equipped with them. So automatically I didn't know that I was going to sink into depression. I didn't know that I was going to have anxiety. I didn't know that I was going to be suicidal, you know, and when I was, I didn't know that I was just going through like this deep and dark emotional time. And the only thing that saved me at that time was this new life that had come into my life in the form of my child. So everything now stopped being about me and started to be about this child now that I actually needed to like to be there for and to support and to make sure that he gets the love of a mother. So I was determined to be there no matter what. And 15 years later, here I am.
Amazing. What was the turning point for you, Luisa? Because you've, as I said, you've gone on to write this book about your life. Having, as you've just described, you thought this was going to be the death sentence. You've now written a book called How HIV Saved My Life. How did you get to the point where you felt that HIV saved your life?
Well, it's at the point where I realized that this diagnosis, as terrible as it is, it actually made me to turn my life around. It actually started to make me to reflect on my life and the choices that I made. It made me to be accountable. It made me to take responsibility for my health. It made me acknowledge that I am the one who is responsible for leading myself into spaces that led me to being HIV positive or infected with HIV. It made me to self-reflect in such a deep way that it completely transformed my life, in the sense that now I know who I am. I know what I want out of life. I no longer keep talking to people in my life, which were also like the catalyst for me, like coming out, because I was in a manipulative space. I was being manipulated by friends who knew that I was living with HIV and they wanted to disclose the news publicly before I had a chance to, because they felt like HIV was affecting them. This HIV that is in my body was affecting them negatively, because every time that we were out and people would know that I'm living with HIV, people then, they said, people assumed that they were also living with HIV, which was a very tragic thing for me because I spent the past 10 years of my life in secret and hiding and taking these medications and doing everything that I can to survive. I never expected in my life that there would be people who were using this thing against me and people that I had thought were my close friends. And this also, in a way, like, it also transformed me because I then started to speak publicly about my HIV status, which brought me a lot of support in terms of, like, people, and also allowed me to see HIV in a very different way, which then now transformed my life and then helped me to be a support system to other people that have also tested positive for HIV.
Louisa, what does your life look like these days? Where do you find joy? And what does the future hold for you in terms of your dreams, your goals, your ambitions?
My life right now is very peaceful. I'm very intentional about everything that I'm doing in my life. I meditate a lot. And I've now started a gratitude journal. And I'm seeking therapy, and my life is moving at a very steady I do not know what the future holds for me. I wish I knew, but I do hope it holds nothing but greatness and success and positivity, because there's a lot of things that I want to do to amplify my advocacy. I want to be there as a support system for women who are also going through things, you know, and people living with HIV that need a support system, a place, a safe space, because there aren't enough spaces that promote mental health, that talk about our sexual and reproductive health rights, and also promoting and encouraging us to create an HIV-free generation. So those are the things that I'm looking for. I'm also looking to grow as an entrepreneur and hopefully as a publisher to open doors for other Black writers, because there are so many of us and we do not know, like, what, you know, the details are. And it's so detailed, this journey. And I've been sharing with people to say, this is how I got published with my book. And I want to grow as a publisher to be able to help us tell our own stories in our own voices.
Absolutely.
So I'm hoping for the opportunity to be able to do that.
Listen, we've got a couple of minutes left. I do just want to say, you know, we created this segment of the show, My Amazing Life, for people who have overcome adversity, for people who have perhaps experienced trauma and turned their life around. And you really are, your story really is that's the sort of epitome. You are the poster child, really, Louisa, for this segment. And we are so grateful to you for sharing your story with us. What gets you through your difficult days? And any words of inspiration for people who may be listening in this morning who are also experiencing a tough period in their life? Maybe they've just also got some bad news. They're not quite sure how to deal with it. What advice or what gets you through difficult times?
What gets me through difficult time is knowing that everything is temporary. Nothing is permanent in this lifetime. So you can either find joy or sadness in that. You know, so for me, I find courage in that I know that, okay, it's temporary. It's not gonna be lasting forever.
Yeah.
Which also pushes me to be my best, because then even if I'm winning, I'm like, this is temporary. I need to make sure, you know, that I constantly do better and become better, you know, so it's something that has also helped me. For people that also just received the news or are thinking of, like, getting tested, there's no way to prepare you than to just be honest with yourself as much as possible, you know, because you are going to need yourself at the end of that conversation with your doctor or whomever is conducting your test. You are going to need yourself to be there for yourself, to be your own support system, because you can be, like, your most self-harming person, you know, and you need to be kinder and, you know, more gentle and more loving towards yourself.
Absolutely. I just want to let our listeners know that Louisa is going to be doing a reading from her book, How HIV Saved My Life, at Balakudu Warehouse in Strand this coming Thursday, the 17th of June at 6:30. Please, if you would like to go and get a copy of the book, a signed copy of the book, if you'd like to meet Louisa, make sure that you get down there at Balakudu Warehouse in Strand. You can follow Louisa on social media, Louisa Lindani. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show this morning, and thanks so much for spending time with us.
The pleasure has been all mine, and I would love to read the first chapter, which is very short. The first chapter of my book is actually quite very short. I don't know if you would be able to allow me to do that.
We don't have time, Louisa, but that's hopefully.
Oh, okay.
We don't have time because we must get to headlines, but we would obviously, people must get down to Strand,
oh,
and
yes,
to Balakudu.
Yes, yes, yes. Only Please come, everyone. Please come.
And they can hear you reading.
At the Balagudu Warehouse this Thursday. I'm so excited about being in Western Cape and just meeting everybody. I'm so excited about the conversations that we're going to have.
So thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you also for the opportunity.
Louisa.
I'm so grateful. Thank you.